Thank you. Good afternoon or good morning to those of you on the West, and welcome to the Talking Freight Seminar Series. My name is Jennifer Simone, and I'll be moderating today's seminar. Today's topic is commercial motor vehicle size and weight. Please be advised that today's seminar is being recorded. Today we'll have three presentations given by Tom Carney of the Federal Highway Administration Office of Freight Management and Operations Size and Weight Team, and Rick Athey of the Arizona Department of Transportation Motor Vehicle Division. Our scheduled third presenter, Jeff Honefanger, is unable to present today, so actually Tom is going to be taking his place giving his presentation. Tom Carney joined the Federal Highway Administration's Office of Freight Management and Operations, serving on the Truck Size and Weight Team in April 2007. His job duties focus on integrating truck size and weight program activities with the overall freight management and operations program at FHWA. He serves on the FHWA, FMCSA, Smart Roadside Oversight Team, and ad hoc groups. His work focuses on researching and supporting the integration of automation-based approaches to truck size and weight enforcement. He also manages the Truck Parking Facilities Program for FHWA. Tom serves as a master instructor for the National Highway Institute and also has served as an instructor for NHI's FHWA's Highway Program Financing course since 2002. Prior to joining the Truck Size and Weight Team, Tom served as a statewide planner in FHWA's New York Division office. Prior to joining FHWA in February 2000, Tom worked in the New York State Department of Transportation's Planning Division for 14 years. He was the Highway Inventory Program Supervisor at New York State DOT just prior to joining Federal Highway. He received his undergraduate degree from Albany State University and received a master's degree in regional planning with joint specialties in urban and transportation planning from Albany State as well. He currently serves on the Community Advisory Board for Albany State University's graduate program in regional planning. He has been a member of the American Planning Association since 1983 and currently serves on the Washington County Planning Board. Rick Athey currently serves as Assistant Division Director of the ADOT Motor Vehicle Division's Enforcement Services Program with their Bachelor of Arts degree in business. Rick oversees 22 ports of entry, with six of them international ports, vehicle inspections, and registration compliance. After a stint in the Air Force, Rick pursued a career in law enforcement that was enriched with duty assignments in patrol, accident investigation, SWAT bomb technician, FBI Academy, and district commander. After 29 years, Rick's retirement enabled him to accept his current position with the Motor Vehicle Division in 1999. Rick is a member of the Astro Highway Subcommittee on Highway Transport and was selected by FHWA to participate in the European Scan Tour, visiting seven countries regarding size and weight and weigh in motion. I'd now like to go over a few logistical details prior to starting the seminar. Today's seminar will last 90 minutes, with 60 minutes for the presenters and the final 30 minutes for audience question and answer. Although I should step back, we actually are going to be taking questions in between presentations this time, since our presentations are a little bit separate. So we'll take a few minutes after each presentation for questions. If you think of a question during the presentation, please type it into the smaller text box underneath the chat area on the right side of your screen. Make sure you're typing in the thin text box and not the large white area, and please make sure you send your question to everyone. The presenters will be unable to answer your questions during their presentations, but I'll start off each question and answer session with the questions typed into the chat box. Once we get through the questions that have been typed in, the operator will give you instructions on how to ask a question over the phone. If you think of a question after the seminar, you can send it to the presenters directly, or I encourage you to use the Freight Planning Listserv. The listserv is an email forum for the distribution of information and a place where you could post questions to find out what other subscribers have learned in the area of freight planning. If you haven't already joined the listserv, the web address at which you can register is provided on the slide on your screen. Finally, I'd like to remind you that the session is being recorded. A file containing the audio and the visual portion of the seminar will be posted to the Talking Freight website within the next week. We encourage you to direct others in your office that may have not been able to attend this seminar to access the recording. The PowerPoint presentations used today are available for download from the file download box in the lower right corner of your screen. The presentations will also be available online within the next week. I'll notify all attendees of the availability of the PowerPoints, the recording, and a transcript of the seminar. So we'll now go ahead and get started. Today's topic, for those of you who just joined us, is commercial motor vehicle size and weight. Our first presentation will be given by Tom Carney of the Federal Highway Administration Office of Freight Management and Operations Size and Weight Team. As a reminder, if you have any questions, please type them into the chat box and we'll get to them after the presentation. So now I'm going to turn it over to Tom.
Jennifer, thank you very much. I want to explain let me start at the end. and just explain to everyone that Jeff Hunnefanger, who is the co-chair of the Subcommittee on Highway Transport at ASHTO, Jeff is in Ohio right now and is one of 500,000 residents without power. So Jeff does send his regrets. He's also the permit section director, and you can imagine when a natural catastrophe like Ike comes through Ohio with 75 mile an hour sustained winds, that the permit section ends up being a rather busy place. Their presentation could have been also presented by the permitting task force director of chairman of the Subcommittee on Highway Transport, Denny Silvio. Denny now is in a bunker down in Louisiana, and they are recovering not only from Ike, but they're also coordinating relief efforts after Gustav a few weeks ago. So our timing during hurricane season was questionable on the topic in light of some of the assets and colleagues I have involved in the topic. As you look at the screen here, I can see that it's going to be very, I guess it doesn't say, it's a little bit confusing. In the upper left corner, the International Society of Way in Motion, that's a society that I am a member of. Bottom left corner is the emblem for the National Civil Engineering Research Center of France, located in Paris, France. This past May 19th and through the 22nd, they hosted the fifth conference, the International Conference on Way in Motion, that was held in conjunction with the 10th Conference on Heavy Vehicle Truck Technology. As part of the conference, we were approached. I serve as implementation team leader for the 2006 European Scan on Truck Enforcement Technologies. And I was approached to submit a paper and put a presentation together for a plenary session as part of the Way in Motion track. And a colleague of mine, Debbie Walker from Turner Fairbanks Research Highway Research Center, Debbie is involved with the traffic monitoring aspects of the LTPP program, and Debbie was good enough to present this presentation on behalf of myself and Jody Carson of TTI, co-authored a paper, an extract from our scan report that we also made available to the participants in Paris. This is the presentation that Debbie walked through in Paris back in May. And I wanted to share this, take this opportunity through Talking Freight to share this with U.S. partners. Final report was issued. It's available on the International Program's website, www.international.fhwa.dot.gov. Publication numbers provided on the slide. Publication was written by Dr. Jody Carson, TTI. If we can go back one. Now it's interesting, Rick Athey will follow. Rick was a member representing the enforcement colleagues. He's a member of this scan. Jeff Hunnefanger was a co-leader of this scan that was conducted in 2006. And a colleague of mine, Julie Strawhorn, who is now Julie Lane. Julie was co-leader as she was a member of the Truck Size and Weight Program. Julie continues as a friend and as a close colleague of mine. She is working with the C-Vision program at Motor Carrier Safety Administration. So our work continues on roadside truck enforcement technology integration. As you can see, we had federal employees, David Jones, the high-speed WIM database manager over in policy offices, Office of Highway Policy Information was with us. Julie Lane, like I said, Julie Strawhorn at the time, truck size and weight team. I was a statewide planner in New York handling the truck size and weight enforcement program. That was the Fed side. State side, we had a few bridge engineers, George Connor of Alabama, Pam Thurber out of Vermont. John Nicholas, my colleague on the truck size and weight team, in his prior life as a Washington State patrolman, represented the enforcement aspects of the program, as did Rick Athey, the Director of Motor Vehicle Safety down in Arizona DOT. Jody Carson, as I've been mentioning, TTI college professor, when she worked at Montana State, was very instrumental in the delivery of the STARS program up in Montana, which is a WIM-based truck enforcement. It is a WIM-based tool that is designed to support mobile enforcement. So we had a whole variety of backgrounds, and I guess I'd be negligent if I didn't mention Randy Woolley, an electrical engineer who works with the California Technology Research Group, very, very instrumental in the technology implementation group of ASHTO, who are out promoting WIM for truck enforcement. Randy was with us as well. And multidisciplinary, a lot of different interests on the team, a lot of expertise, and when it comes to truck enforcement, it turns into a wide topic rather quickly. The investigations before we left, we broke it into five subject areas that we would be focusing on: the actual enforcement technologies, the countries we visited, what kind of technologies, how are they using the technologies, procedures and approaches for enforcement, and that was how is enforcement being delivered roadside and in the field, how is it being supported in the home office, unique applications of data as they were collecting enforcement data, were there any unique uses of traditional data, public-private funding approaches. And we did see some examples of public-private aspects toward approaching enforcement programs, also truck toll programs, and then practices to harmonize enforcement techniques. Europe, under the EU, 26 membership countries, and a lot of coordination needed in that there are EU permits and a lot of different member states with different national standards, and yet EU with blanket standards. So harmonization was something we keyed in on as well. Desk scan up front. We sat down, Jody Carson from TTI did the research. We set up a matrix regarding those five topics on the prior slide, who had best practice approaches, and which countries will we get the most advantage by visiting. Slovenia was out in front with their use of bridge way in motion technology. They had it deployed and in use supporting enforcement in the field. ZAG is a National Civil Engineering Research Consortium, public employees in partnership with the private sector supporting research, supporting the public interest in Slovenia. Switzerland, the Federal Roads Agency, and IMPO is a research entity located up outside of Bern, doing some advanced research on the comprehensive cost of heavy trucks regarding vibration, noise, emissions, impact on infrastructure, very ambient analysis of cost when they talk about overloaded trucks. Fedro going through their approach on mobile enforcement and how they were using advanced technologies to support many enforcement sites, M-I-N-I, many small-scale, cheap, inexpensive approaches to delivering enforcement using automation, but also the bigger, heavier truck in enforcement sites and how they were automating them. This past February, we had Swiss officials come over. I'll get into this more in a minute. Swiss officials came over for a visit to give us more details on what was going on. Germany, our day was spent in Berlin, and we met with Toll Collect, who has a automated truck toll system. Trucks are tolled based upon the distance they're traveling. There's an integration of onboard identification systems, talking to roadside detection, along with GPS, with the GIS-based representation of the network. Locating the events, which were moving trucks, locating them on roads subject to tolls, automatically using automation, accessing accounts, paying tolls on the fly based upon the roads they were on and the distances they were traveling. Very enlightening day. A lot of interesting implications tied to Toll Collect. Netherlands, a lot of different aspects, including the research into the way of motion technology. Best practice when it comes to database management for way in motion. Belgium was just getting started with their way in motion enforcement program. Had interesting discussion with them on how they were approaching it. As Belgium was embarking on way in motion, they were using low speed way in motion directly to issue citations to truckers. They had support nationally, constitutionally, to use the technology for direct enforcement. Belgium also was located in the same building with a lot of EU analysts. So we met with some folks from the Federation of European Highway Research Labs, learned a lot about coordinated research in Europe. France, absolutely loaded with lessons in France. Very, very strong, aggressive way in motion, monitoring system located around the country, a couple of hundred WIM locations, regional research centers receiving data regularly, data being made available to a variety of users. In Paris at LCPC, we met with a world-leading expert in way in motion, Mr. Bernard Jacob. He shared with us some of the research that France was undertaking. Implementation was the key. Before we left, we knew that we were going to see things in Europe that would probably be a little bit different, a lot the same, but a lot in some cases different than what we were doing in the U.S. And the gang that we had assembled to go to Europe was a handful of opportunists that wanted to go and take a look, get details, and improve operation of truck enforcement in the U.S. The expertise being a wide variety was a strength to the team. Jody prepared detailed worksheets for us, and we were given worksheets to take notes. We were assigned based on our background different subject areas to focus in on. Rick, for instance, would focus in on the enforcement aspects. I was being asked to focus in on the technology and data side of things. Everybody had different assignments. We all kind of blended our notes at the end of the day, and Jody was able to write the report on the fly. Ted Farragut is invaluable to the International SCAM program. Ted Farragut is a former FHWA employee, and he absolutely is driven toward international technology transfer. And his job, his role supporting the SCAM program is to facilitate enhancements to U.S. programs by learning from what others are doing in other nations. And Ted has been a very, very strong partner and a very, very strong asset to me in implementation for the past 2 years. Post-SCAN, we had a whole bevy of things that would be wonderful to bring back. There were 34 of them the team identified. Far too many implementation opportunities than could actually be focused on, so we went with our top seven. There was no top 10, we went top seven. That was heavy enough. We put an implementation plan together, and here's the top seven we identified that the implementation plan was designed around. Slovenian Bridgeway in Motion, heavy good vehicle control sites in Switzerland, pre-screening for mobile enforcement in a variety of nations, applying WIM for direct enforcement. Belgium is where we saw it. It is now occurring in France. Low speed on ramps at the enforcement locations. Behavior-based enforcement activities. We learned it was an interesting business model to weight enforcement being used in Netherlands that involved a very heavy use of high-speed WIM data. The synthesis of safety-based implications for truck size and weight enforcement, research that was being done in Belgium, a report that was shared with us. There's been some work in the U.S. on that as a follow-up. Effective use of WIM data. I'll show you in a minute a slide as to how we've delivered on that one. Bridge WIM, University of Alabama, George Connor, who was our bridge maintenance engineer from Alabama, is now the director of maintenance down at the Alabama DOT. George was the champion securing SPR funds through Alabama's UTC program. And University of Alabama's research consortium, Tuscaloosa, Birmingham, and Huntsville, the three Alabama universities collaborate on cooperative research. They undertook investigations research into Slovenia's Sistel Bridgeway Emotion System. There was deployments on two sites at this point in time with some research done. There were plans to deploy at a third site. In North America, Sistel, who developed Bridgeway Emotion, which is being aggressively deployed in Europe right now, Sistel worked in cooperation with ZAG, that Civil Engineering Institute in Slovenia, in developing the technology and integrating it into the government's business model. Onyx Corporation out of Montreal, Canada, is facilitating the support of deployment in North America right now. Sistel has been over to Birmingham, Alabama, supporting the research team. Onyx has been talking to the team. The team continues with their research efforts, working with Alabama DOT permit directors, Randy Braden, and Highway Patrol in Alabama, trying to get the Bridgeway in Motion integrated as a new tool into their enforcement program. The workshop, BridgeWIM, is history now. My colleague John Nicholas actually attended the workshop in August, the second week in August. It was down in Birmingham, Alabama. Working with Ted Farragut, the SCAN implementation team was able to support travel so that Bernard Jacob of France, Aless Zidnerich of Slovenia, Eugene O'Brien out of Ireland, and Mr. Hans van Loo out of the Netherlands. He lives in Switzerland but consults with the Dutch government. All four of these four leading world experts in Way in Motion and in BridgeWIM technology attended and shared technical information with the research team and with other participants who went to Birmingham back at, I think it was August the 11th, 10th in the evening and all day on the 11th in Birmingham. We're looking forward to good things coming out of this project. Swiss Heavy Goods, we had a one-day workshop. I say thank you again to my good friend Rick Athey, who hosted the workshop in Glendale, Arizona. Willie Burgunder from the Federal Roads Agency attended. He was deputy director of the Federal Roads Agency, along with police commander Retzo Habermacher. Retzo is the police commander of Canton Uray. Uray is at the northbound approach to the Goodhart Tunnel at the northern Italian border, high volume trucks moving from Italy into northern Europe. There is a very aggressive, very large truck control facility that controls the number of trucks in the tunnel at any given time as of the November 2001 Goodhart Tunnel fire. There's a national ordinance on number of commercial vehicles in the tunnel at any given time. This facility that is under construction is to hold trucks, to offer them overnight storage and parking accommodations. No trucks travel at night in Switzerland. It is against the national law, very easy to enforce. Nighttime, truck, you're under arrest. Trucks move on trains at night in Switzerland. Switzerland owns the rail network. During daylight hours, this control site at the northern approach to the Goodhart Tunnel uses a heavy level of automation to process trucks, legal trucks processed in and out in under 2 minutes. If the truck is subject to any kind of further inspection, if it's a vehicle of interest, it is subjected to more detailed inspections. It can take up to 25 minutes to process a truck fully through the entire site. The truck also, the enforcement officials have impoundment capabilities on site. They can park up to 700 trucks, store them for overnight. They get that kind of volume moving out of Italy toward Northern Europe. So this is a huge need for a safe, adequate truck parking facility integrated as an enforcement facility. In Glendale, you will see Washington State Patrol. My good friend John Nicholas put a presentation on behalf of the Washington State Patrol out in Glendale. Rick Athey and his team put a presentation on. Rick is going to share that presentation again with us. Arizona is into some very interesting aspects of automated truck enforcement program, moving the truck enforcement program forward. Swiss came into Washington with me, met with USDOT officials, CVSA officials. We had Maryland Highway Patrol, we had Maryland Sea Vision Program officials in. Then they attended and presented to AASHTO's Subcommittee on Highway Transport. So it was a busy week back there, President's Week, February 2008. But a very, very fulfilling visit by the Swiss. Next slide is the safety implications. Dr. Dan Turner, he is out of University of Alabama, and I think Dan is in Tuscaloosa at the main campus. He may be out of Birmingham. I'm sure if he's online, he will let me know later. But Dan is a very, very strong asset in the United States regarding truck safety investigation and research. Dan, once again, receiving money through Alabama's SPR program, supported research into the safety implications of overloaded trucks. Dan was able to make a presentation. He presented a paper, made a presentation on the heavy vehicle truck technology track in Paris back in May. And Dan has a paper that he's published with some preliminary findings. Netherlands. We went to publication. It's on the international website. It is a wonderful story of how the Dutch get a lot of bang for the buck collecting weigh in motion data, central storage, central processing, very, very ambient distribution to a lot of different users within the Dutch government, pavement design, bridge design, weight enforcement community. Enforcement officers actually get copies of reports every Wednesday morning showing the loading, the trends in loadings on specific motorways, high volume motorways in the country, so they can retailer and refocus their enforcement attention very, very quickly. Hans van Loo, Hans van Sans. Hans van Sans is now in the United States, living in Washington, D.C., as the Dutch liaison with TRB. Hans van Loo continues to consult with Kistler Corporation as a technical consultant, and he is supporting the Dutch government in their their use of technology in truck enforcement. And very, very good assets that we've kept in touch with over in Netherlands. Pre-screening, something near and dear to my office. What we want to do is get the enforcement more intelligent out in the field. We want to basically bring technology to the roadside in unison with motor carriers, systems that they are through C-Vision trying to deliver to the roadside, so we can integrate and know where the trucks that are legal are, the trucks that are within weight, within dimension, that are also driver, company, and vehicle safety, okay, with all of their IFTA and IRP all paid up. We can determine that at highway speed. We'll be able to improve the productivity on our network for freight big time. The traditional approach of weigh stations and bringing all the trucks in with the volumes on the network now and those forecasts, and you see the scary forecasts in FAF when you hit the FAF website, there's no way enforcement will be able to keep up with the tsunami of commercial vehicles that are going to be pushed onto the network over the next 20 years. Through my job, we're trying to focus on emulating the European approach, which was a building block, a snap-together approach to enforcement, and it was not perfect program overnight all at once. It was one step at a time, one thing leads to another, and here's how they relate. Cambridge Systematics is working with me on a study that will be completed by the end of March. Kathy Krupa is the principal investigator on the study. We have expanded beyond the interview guide that fifth bullet down says Florida, Kentucky, California. We also did a site visit to Minnesota. Minnesota was not an interview state anymore. Kathy went out and had a site visit there. Wonderful information made available. Michigan was an interview state. Indiana's been an interview state. The scope of the study expanded as our investigations into the use of technology expanded, and we're still in the research mode through the end of September of doing telephone interviews and site visits. I thank all the state participants for their support in the study, and we're going to come out with a fabulous resource available nationally to all enforcement officials as a product. It's all emulated under the Remove project that was done in Europe on how to approach using technologies more efficient enforcement. 20-7, I'm not going to linger on. You're going to hear a lot about it at the tail end. That's the presentation I will present on behalf of my dear friend Jeff Honnefanger, co-chair, Subcommittee Highway Transport. So let's save that one, Jennifer. Thank you. Much done to date, more to do. We have other aspects. Here's a little laundry list of things that are ahead, but I wanted to share with you not just this laundry list, but we do have under the implementation plan a lot done. Yes, that's true. This year, the activities we will be focusing on is documentation of the technology aspects of the Swiss heavy good control sites. We want the construction specifications for the low-cost mini sites. We want construction specifications for the Swiss full control sites. What are the technologies? How do they interact? What kind of functionality? What kind of business need are they serving? A contract has been let and will be completed, focusing on documenting the Swiss system. We are also going to be planning, conducting, and delivering a national one-day brainstorming strategic session on short-term, medium-term, long-term plan for WIM and weigh in motion, use and deployment for more effective weight enforcement activities. We want to bring the U.S. Brain Trust together for a one-day working session to come up with short, medium, and long-term goals for delivery of much more effective, more efficient enforcement using technology. Those are the two things we'll be focusing on this upcoming year. Jennifer, if you go to the next slide, I think we should be close to the wrap-up. If you have more questions, give me a call. There's my contact information. That
was long. Okay. Well, let's see. We don't have any questions typed in, but we'll take a few minutes for just to see if anybody has questions over the phone right now. And also feel free to type anything in for Tom if you have any questions. Matt, if you can give instructions on how to ask a question over the phone.
Thank you, ma'am. If you would like to ask a question, please press star then one. Please unmute your line and clearly state your first and last name. Your name is required to introduce your question. To withdraw your question from queue, you may press star then two. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one now.
And Dave Shade, I will not take any questions from you. I have questions for you, sir.
At this time, I have no questions in queue.
Okay, well then we'll go ahead and move on and.
So Jennifer,
sure.
This would be a great point right here. I talked about Glendale in the workshop out there, and Rick Athey has been a full partner. Rick and John Nicholas were on the scan implementation team with me. John was with Washington State Patrol, Rick with Arizona, and we put our heads together and really worked hard at creating, developing, and delivering the one-day workshop in Glendale, which our host today, Jennifer Simone, actually attended with us and helped support as a note-taker. What I'd like to do right now is just hand over. I talked a little bit about the Swiss that exciting week, but Rick, why don't you step up right now and explain that beautiful picture we're looking at right now, and let us know some of the good things Arizona's up to.
All right, thank you, Tom, and good afternoon. As you see, the first slide is the great state of Arizona, and that's our sunsets. You know, today's going to be about 97, low about 67, so, you know, we're pretty happy right now. Ports of Entry.
It's on mute.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is where, you know, I think this is where we need to begin, and as you see, you have to be as old as pretty much, you know, a lot of the first officers that began size and weight, and also the facilities. Every state had them as the traffic volumes were much lower. Speeds of travel not allowed anywhere near as demanded today, and the truck-trailer combinations were all the same design, or at least configured alike. They performed their functions reliably and in somewhat efficiency, or efficiently. Times and needs have changed. Six ports. We have 22 fixed facilities. There are three types of ports in ports of entries in Arizona. Today's traffic volumes require large, multi-acre facilities to properly screen commercial traffic. This is the new Nogales. Well, this is actually the Nogales facility on the Mexican border. We have 22 fixed locations that are identified as ports of entry. There are six international ports, and I just want to talk a little bit about Nogales. Nogales, we during produce season, pretty much about 5 months out of the year, end up with about 4,000 trucks a day, along with a partnership of Customs and Federal Motor Carrier Safety. We touch, you know, some of those trucks cross the border, and it's the same truck anywhere from 3, 4, or 5 times during that day. But as far as commercial vehicle inspections, we touch about 20% of those trucks per day. Again, there are six international ports. Nogales is being already designed for a new port in 2010, and where security probably is the main focus. We also, San Luis near the Yuma border should be completed. It's a brand new port with partnerships between, again, with those three agencies. That should be finished in 2009. We have the Douglas Federal, the NACO Federal. Now that one that star is the Douglas Federal, and then you have NACO, Sasebo, you have Lukeville, you'll have the other two ports right here, and the last one is the large San Luis port of entry. The San Luis Federal location has the San Luis 2 project now underway to build the new efficient facility a few miles away from the old crossing. Way in Motion will be used at this location. Also, the reason why they're separating the San Luis 2 is separating the family or vehicle traffic to commercial traffic. Fixed ports, again, Yuma 8. We have Ehrenberg and Topak. We have Kingman. And again, you have Sanders over here.
No, Laura's coming too. So she's going to sign him in.
And you also have the Douglas.
Is he beating me up at all? Or no?
We have nine secondary route fixed ports of entry. We have two mobile operations with the north using a selected assignment rotation to maintain presence in the region.
He really went to town.
I didn't. He did it. The same kind of cuts
me. Now, these are your interstate ports in red.
That's great. Doesn't that feel great?
And the next slide would be the mobile.
We'd be dying.
And we try to we use especially the southern route because of the bed grant. In Federal Motor Carrier Safety, because with the over 14,000 safety inspections from the border. The purpose of the ports of entries. Size and weight enforcement, protection and preservation of infrastructure. The collection and mandated taxes and fees, safety-related tasks, responsibilities of member of the community. Size and weight is a priority. Our mandate is the protection of the taxpayers' investment in our infrastructure. This activity is also crucial to ADOT's ability to obtain and utilize federal highway funds for road construction or repair. Collection of taxes and fees, safety inspection and associated tax. These are businesses that spring up around our ports, including truck stops, restaurants, repair facilities, even banks. As ADOT can be the largest employer in some remote areas, reductions of staffing or changing our operations can dramatically affect a local area economic situation. In this slide parked bumper to bumper, end to end, the vehicles weighed at these facilities annually would be a line of trucks that would go completely around the earth 2.3 times. These numbers are only possible due to the fact that we use electronic screening at our interstate ports. Without the weigh in motion and sorter systems, we would not be able to maintain a safe or effective screening process. As you see at the bottom, we weigh over 7 million trucks annually. Commercial vehicle safety intervention. Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance Level 2 inspections of ports of entries have resulted in discovery of contraband totaling up to 6,000 pounds of marijuana in a single load, and individual drug-related cash seizures as high as $1.6 million. And that was found in one commercial vehicle alone. Drugs are an everyday occurrence in truck enforcement on statewide bypasses. The very nature of our business becomes more dangerous as time passes.
Because we didn't have his phone number.
The return on investment. Direct collections is approximately $18 million a year.
We're going to have to extend to about three.
Cost savings to the state on pavement damage is somewhere between $12 to $50 million on an annual basis.
I got a money maker for you.
We estimate our return to be, for every dollar spent on ports, we return $11 to HERF, which is our highway fund.
Where's Marky? Where's my class? Where's my goddamn course? Oh, no.
MBD's builds highways.
Did they tell him?
Total MB direct deposits into HERF was $1.8 billion. Arizona cities receive $633 million. Arizona counties receive about $527 million.
Then we're going to bid deliberately?
Urban controlled roads, which have to do with our building partners in the cities and counties, receive about $105 million. ADOT's entire operating budget is financed through MVD collections.
It's just not Mark. I don't know. Are you working with Mark?
Our mobile operations, MVD does perform safety inspections at fixed ports of entries and add mobile details at all locations in the state. This includes rest areas, pullouts made especially for them, and roving officers that can be anywhere.
I don't think he was there.
Because he had something. Oh, you know what? It was private sector involvement.
Our safety inspections are due to the process and necessity, a slow time consuming task. The key is to an effective safety program is the method used to identify those vehicles that are the most in need of inspection. Random is effective to a certain extent. Every vehicle inspected is not possible at times. So,
I see you. When you're sick, you go white. You can tell when you're sick.
So when you spend your, in other words, you spend your resources and that time are very important. It's how you spend those resources. Effective screening processes that identifies vehicles at risk for safety violations is critical to the safety of this activity.
Oh, could be it.
Safety facts. Approximately 9% of the vehicle-related deaths are commercial vehicle-related. 80% of those traffic accidents are the fault of non-commercial drivers. Because of the laws of physics, when a larger vehicle hits a smaller vehicle, the smaller vehicle is always the loser.
Okay. I didn't know that till today.
About 5,000 people die each year in crashes involving large trucks, and about 85% of them are not the truck's occupants.
He might go on for 2 hours.
Arizona is a corridor state. Being a corridor state means that a large number of commercial vehicles travel our roads to reach other destinations. We are the preferred route for several different corridors, including the I-10 and I-40 coast-to-coast routes, but also have a significant role in the Canamex route.
You can go. I'll talk to Matt. Matt, begin.
Arizona's corridor state again is very clear that Arizona has a significant impact on the nationwide movement of goods by this truck flow chart. You basically have to pass through us to get from coast to coast.
In the sun series, you're played over my hands, man. I'm going to have a ball with you.
Well, somebody already wrote in there asking why I was laughing before.
The sanctuaries of Arizona are going to be severely congested by the year 2020, and the major interstates will require a new process to effectively screen truck traffic. We must include electronic screening at all our inspection sites to keep up with the demands of increased traffic.
I'm not safe.
Roadmap to the future solutions to problems.
You can join freight management, but stay where you are. You stay right home.
Here's that Swiss solution for Arizona that we are looking at right now. This is a product which actually weighs the vehicle. It actually has the sensors to look at height, the number of axles, axle weights, gross weights, and the concepts and solutions implemented by the EU agencies is admirable and exciting. But we have a few issues that they may not deal with, such as vehicle configurations and different size and weights. Now, I think I'm going to let Tom talk about this particular project, or actually the size and weight building that they really have here, which as we saw was very exciting, because not only did they did their officers actually go out and stop the truck and bring the truck into this area, but it actually printed the citation out from a computer right there and given to the truck driver.
And Rick, it automatically sent it to the court. The same citation that the officer ripped off the printer was electronically submitted to the local magistrate at that same time. Fully automated.
And didn't the truck driver have to pay for that before he moved?
Yes, sir. Actually, they were holding a truck from Bulgaria, Rick, and the company had to send up some money because the driver was broke.
All right. The commercial vehicle size and weight—they seem to the Swiss seem to have more control over their size or configuration of the vehicles passing through their inspection sites. This was evidenced by the sensor arrays being a box-like structure over their traffic lanes. Possible size restriction by road type, mountainous, is to their advantage. It may work to their advantage in this area, but we require them to move exceptional loads over a routine basis throughout our state. So that might be a problem for us. While not every vehicle is this size and weight, there are more and more of these loads which must be moved across our state. The entire western United States, and in particular Arizona, is involved in a project to replace or renew the primary transformers for electrical power for the entire regions of our grid structure. This includes New Mexico, Colorado, Nevada, and Utah.
So heavy.
As you see in that slide, we just had three other units almost like this, but we also had one that was over 1 million pounds that had to be moved, and an interstate closed for approximately 2 miles to make sure that this vehicle was cleared and was able to move.
Being closed. Come on. Too heavy, Rick. See?
So traffic control and backups behind the slow-moving load is of great concern to us. I also want you to notice the number of truck versus non-commercial vehicles being held up behind this load. We usually state that trucks account for about 42% of the total ADA of normal freeway traffic. It may be more than that already, but current predictions say that we can expect a 70% increase in commercial traffic on our highways by 2020, all compounding our problems of processing this traffic.
We'll see how much time we have left, and you could, you
know, do automated stations.
If that's possible.
We uses existing technology and processes readily available and proven in applications nationwide. All systems related to or built from components already in service at our interstate ports. And all systems and components are interchangeable and complement all applications we are doing. We are trying to incorporate all of the same methods of electronic screening as our EU partners. The sensors are a bit different as needs and vehicle configurations are not the same, but the basic concepts as far as end results are. The automated stations, these stations use electronic screening to the ultimate advantage. They reduce but not eliminate the need for manpower. They allow screening of commercial vehicles at highway speeds. They target illegal operations, allowing legal vehicles to proceed with no delay.
Okay, he's got another one here.
Again, we're in the process of re-engineering all our ports of entries and have at least 5 internal inspection sites being planned, all with sensors to screen commercial vehicles for size and weight and transponders for identification purposes. With these 5, we're also going to add another 9, which will be a total of 14.
Rick, if you give me a second, I'm going to have to reload your presentation here. We got this screen blocking it.
All right, thank you.
Sure. Oh. Sorry, but as we just fix this, we got a slight technical difficulty. Rick, what slide number were you on? Do you know?
27.
Okay, I'll bring it up to that.
I think we only have about 10 more left.
Is that right?
Yes. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, our virtual way station data flow.
That happened when I was testing it out last night.
The truck crosses over the sender, sensors. The information or data is processed by the roadside computer and is transmitted to the station or roadside officer.
Oh, okay, so here we are. He just jumped about 5 slides. That's good. It's a good slide, still.
And this next slide, this is the information transmitted. It can be changed or modified as needed. It can be either transmitted to a station or a laptop computer in a vehicle, allowing real-time enforcement to be effectively applied to a stream of truck traffic. But pulling these vehicles over, that needed to be fully further screened. Okay, obtaining static weights on pull-off areas, and these are examples of roadside enforcement. This is using the semi-portable ramp scales and the hand or wheel scales.
I'm going to bring that up. Hey, Darren.
Hoover Dam bypass, which will be now the primary focus is the Kingman project now being implemented. And this project will support the new bridge being built over the Hoover Dam that should be ready by 2010. The new bridge will dramatically change the truck routing now in place and cause an increase in truck traffic, estimated to double or maybe even more, to the Kingman port of entry and surrounding highways. This will involve the long-distance haulers of freight goods between the east and the west coasts. As you see, that bridge going across, this is what it is supposed to look like. And we had a failure there when strong winds came up and blew over the cranes, which put us about a year behind in the completion of this project. Kingman port of entry, the challenge is to install sorter systems to cover both Highway 93 and State Route 68.
Because you had a whole bunch of folders there.
Yeah, but I was it's in the Arizona and within the freight folder.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was still like, he had his videos in there. Too.
Yes, yes.
Again, outbound 93 towards Nevada and the new bridge. Inbound 93 from Nevada to points west, 68 into Arizona, Nevada, and outbound 68 towards Nevada.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Our goal is to utilize electronic screening to its maximum at every port point possible. The screening vehicles while they are traveling is the only way we will be able to maintain an effective screening option with the projected traffic increases headed our way. The primary challenge to the state of Arizona is finishing the project. As you see the truck coming across, it's the wind sensors, it goes through past the wind sensors and electronics, then the roadside changeable message signs, whether the truck comes in or continues. Primary challenge for Arizona right now is not the technology, it's not the knowledge needed, and it's not the types of sensors or how they are applied. The Swiss were able to get something we don't have, and that's funding. If funding was available, we would install these systems at all our inspection sites. More new studies are not necessary. We have the systems which work. We need a funding source.
It was very interesting. It was
and that is my presentation. But Tom, we're also looking at that Swiss model. Regarding the size and weight structure that you had seen earlier, and we're looking at possibly putting completing one of those and up in the Kingman area because of the when the bridge opens. Also, I've also requested 23 additional personnel for that port of entry. For 2010.
Yeah, it's worthwhile, Rick, to just take a second. And like the Swiss control site that Rick showed in his presentation, the overhead gantry was loaded with a laser sensor-based system that would shoot laser beams over the truck and create a profile of the height and the width of the vehicle, length as well. Measurements that then were identified regarding legal tolerance and then extra legal dimension. If it was height, what we saw was a trucker come in that he was over height. He was able to dampen his suspension system and bring the truck back into compliance with height. As you can imagine, with tunnels in Switzerland, height is a key feature. If you don't fit through a tunnel, then you don't fit through a tunnel. And the Swiss want to know that before you get to the tunnel. So that's why the enforcement with the scanners was key to them. load cells. They had about 8 to 12 load cells on a weighbridge. They got very accurate static weigh measures as the truck was moving onto the weighbridge itself. The officer operating in the office was able to see extra legal dimensions. If it was weight, the weight value at axle, tandem, tritem, set levels, or gross vehicle levels were highlighted in red. If it was a length or width or height, it was highlighted in red. The officer controlling the truck, the guy on the motorcycle that had identified the truck as being overweight or a vehicle of interest, based on visual observation of dimension, he would bring the vehicle in, and he would stay with the truck while the operator in the station that Rick was showing. One guy was able just to shoot all the technology, get a profile of the truck regarding legal, illegal aspects being highlighted, push a button when he saw red elements on the profile of the truck, citation coming out of the printer, like Rick said, and electronically citation going directly to the local magistrate. Everything was very, very efficient. They could roll a truck, they could move a truck right through in like a minute and make a measurement on size and weight in no time. They also had a second shed where they could actually bring the truck through, and they had a walk under with the where the inspectors could walk under and check suspension systems, check brakes and everything. There was brake testers in this building. They're very, very low cost. They were under $1 million. When Rick talked about Kingman, the interest that Arizona and Rick has had at Kingman is more to the dimension of the control site that we heard the Swiss talk about. That was a $53 million project that the Swiss government was willing to support. That, as we heard, Rick, right, Willy Bergunder, Federal Roads Agency, would build and then hand to the Canton Enforcement Agency. Reto would actually operate it and own it after construction. So that's the kind of partnership where Canton's delivered enforcement, but the federal role was to build facilities, get them operating, and walk away. Hand them to the locals to basically then enforce the national policies and laws. $53 million. Why we're going after specifications as a next step in the scan is because not only is Arizona at Kingman interested in looking at some of the very specific elements and details of the technologies used, Kansas is contemplating two different weigh stations. There's been talk about weigh stations in North Dakota. They are still a best practice state with mobile enforcement, but they're looking and they want to make an informed decision back and forth. There is still an appetite out there for weigh stations, comprehensive truck inspection stations. As these concepts are being moved forward, we really want to capitalize on the use of automation, because the traditional manual inspections were never going to be able to keep up with the truck traffic flow rates. Never going to be able to do it, even if we have a lot of weigh stations out there. Rick, thank you very much. That was a very good presentation.
And thank you, Tom. Just one more thing. We have four interstate ports being designed again to rebuild. In other words, exactly the same spots, but they will be more efficient as far as the because of the number of truck because of the truck traffic that is increasing.
Rick, do you have
Kingman Port again is very important to us because of that bridge opening.
Right.
And with the new designs that's coming up, I'm hoping that our efficiency, we gain momentum. And again, right now, just like everybody else's budget as far as hiring personnel and that, it's being affected. So we are being affected as far as our efficiency goes. So we're hoping that things change within the next year, and we'll be back up to full staffing.
The biggest challenge, always the personnel. Now, the next project that we're going to demonstrate, if we...
We have a few questions for Rick. Do you want to go through those first?
Oh, yes. Or? Rick, we have questions for you. I imagine that people would have questions for you, Rick.
We have a few questions that were typed in, so we'll go through those, and then we could also open the phone lines after we get through those to see if anybody has any questions over the phone. Rick, the first question, in reference to the ports that you were showing at the beginning of your presentation, are those just truck crossings, or are any of those rail crossings?
Oh, those are truck crossings.
Okay. And do any of those ports cover Canamex?
There was, well, the Canamex comes up through, if you look up through Nogales. And it comes up through Nogales and up through towards Kingman, St. George, and then north into Utah, up through to Canada.
Okay, and then the next question, you may have actually just answered this, but what about the Nogales port of entry? Does that serve both road and rail?
That is road. That is strictly road at that time. Now let me say another thing. Let me mention another thing. There is another Kingman has now a kind of like a switching station to where and a for the containerized freight. And it is also rail and truck traffic near the city of Kingman, between the port and the city of Kingman. That's rail. There's also one being considered right now, which will come up through Guaymas up to Yuma, which another facility will be built for containerized freight. And also there is one at Picacho Peak between Phoenix and Tucson, which is also being designed at this time for the same thing.
Okay, thank you. Next question, what does Arizona use to determine which vehicles to perform inspections on?
We have pre-pass. So when we determine those vehicles, it depends upon the mobile, or it also depends upon whether or not those trucks are coming in, and whether we determine whether it's 5%, 10%, or 15% that we want to pull in. That's determined on what the officer spot check when those trucks come in to our scales. And if we notice at that point anything that we feel that truck needs to be inspected on.
Okay. And then next question. It seems as though Arizona segregates commercial traffic from personal vehicles. Is any of the inspection done at regular rest stops?
We do have our mobile scales out there, and in which case we actually have them at rest stops. We have them in pull-out areas as far as mobile. We don't inspect cars, but it's just commercial trucking.
Okay. That's all we have typed in. We'll go ahead and open the phone lines and see if anybody wants to ask a question over the phone. Matt, if you could give instructions again.
Certainly. If you would like to ask a question on the audio portion, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please unmute your phone and clearly record your name. Your name is required to introduce the question into conference. If you would like to withdraw your question from the question queue, you may also press star 2. One moment for a response, please. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question over the audio portion, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone and clearly record your first and last name. One moment for a response, please. At this time, we have no questions.
Okay, well, we'll move on then to our final presentation, which we're going to go back to Tom Carney again.
The presentation that Jeff Hanefanger apologizes he's not available today to make. It was very interesting. Jeff shared with me utility companies took off for the Texas coast about middle of last week in anticipation of Ike. So when the 75-mile-an-hour winds came through and did a lot of damage in the Springfield area on Sunday afternoon and evening, there's not a lot of repair crews left in Ohio to address the problem. So. My thoughts go out to Mr. Hanefanger and his family, who's looking at maybe power back on Saturday. NCHRP 20-07 project, I'm going to go through this in about 5 minutes. This was an element and implementation priority that ASHTO, the Subcommittee on Highway Transport, Rick Athey, who just presented to you, is the Truck Size and Weight Task Force Chairman for the Subcommittee on Highway Transport. Rick was involved with the scan. Rick is very involved on the oversight panel in this project as well. So, Rick, if you leave your phone off mute, you can chime in at any point and help me with the presentation if you wish. Basically, 20-07, and I do invite you to download it and read this at your own at your leisure, because I do have some, quite a bit of text on a couple of these slides. 20-07 is set up to support research needs for the Subcommittee on Highway Transport. The concept of going into the vaults, of all the information we brought back, and there's a tremendous amount of information we brought back from Europe on the 06 scan. We wanted to open the vaults up, and we wanted to put together a lot of key pieces of information and target the state executive level of the state DOTs to give them some compelling information as to the importance of size and weight enforcement and the importance of technology in delivering enforcement, so that people like Rick would be able to get the funding, get the executive level support he needs to move his program forward. I have to, at this point, tip my cap and acknowledge Jim Lynch is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Highway Transport. Jim Lynch is the champion of this Task 254. Jim, as a director of a DOT, saw the value of the scan in 2006, saw a lot of the opportunities for improving enforcement through automation approaches and technology tools. Jim thought that his peers that run the state DOTs around the country don't have access to enough information and don't truly understand the difficulties that people like Rick and his staff face and the benefits that technology lend to Rick and his staff in doing their jobs. So Jim Lynch has the NCHRP project approved in FY09. The goal is to just look at the best practice aspects of what we saw in Europe, develop real quick response information, get it out to the DOT executives. There's a 7-member panel. Jim March of the policy office and myself are the two feds that sit on it. Denny Silvio, who's in the bunker down in Louisiana doing emergency response right now, is on the panel. Rick's on the panel. Jeff Honefanger's on the panel. We have a couple gentlemen from the Northwest, from state DOTs, on the panel. The project itself, Jody Carson was our report writer. Jody Carson accompanied us to Europe. Jody Carson was handed all of the presentations, all of the detailed information on a lot of the different aspects of the scan when we visited the 6 countries in that whirlwind 16-day period back in 2006. Naturally, she was a very good person to line up for this project. Jody delivered, and we approved a proposal that she submitted. Project has a 16-month time frame. It should be wrapped up late spring next year, by summer of next year. By the end of summer next year. 8 tasks were laid out, and I'm going to go through them very quickly. Come up with the menu of supporting technologies. Summarize relevant European management policies and procedures. We've blended that with the summary of the U.S. management policies and procedures. Task 4 is heavy. Read it on your own time. Read it when you have time, I should say. I'm sorry, I don't mean to assign homework here. But read it when you have time. Basically, Task 4 lays out the contents of the real value of this effort. It blends. Tasks 2 and 3 come together in here big time. U.S. approaches, European approaches to enforcement, to technologies, into informational sheets. The areas that are laid out that we're going to put informational sheets out on, that Jody's working on, review of the enforcement, commercial overview of the enforcement activities in general, weigh in motion calibration implications, things that people want to use WIM but don't understand the heavy maintenance and calibration needs that get tied to this technology, oversize overweight, the permitting, routing, and the monitoring aspects, bridge infrastructure preservation in particular, and then the agency-wide benefits of data that's used for size and weight enforcement and how it can be used in other aspects supporting the program. The briefs right now, we've Rick and I were tasked with reviewing the briefs with the rest of the panel. We've offered comments. They're being readied for the ASHTO meeting in Hartford, Connecticut in October, so they're ready for distribution. We're in the last lap of comments on the briefs on those five areas. Task number five has been blended into the briefs. It was a standalone on the proposal. The panel asked that it be re-engineered. The implementation process in the U.S. has now been incorporated into the informational briefs themselves, so it's all one-stop shopping in those five subject areas. Once again, scheduled for fall because we want it available at ASHTO. Final versions, there's the target down the bottom. ASHTO fall meeting, they're going to go, Jody's going to make a presentation also at Subcommittee Highway Transport in February. Let's see, here they are. Annual meeting in October, subcommittee, the DC meeting of subcommittee in Highway Transport, and then up to four state level visits are going to be targeted for outreach, and that will feed into a piece of number eight, the final report scheduled for completion summer 2009. Now, in my role on the panel, what I'm trying to do is the truck technology study that I'm working on that has included so many states, outreach to so many states, looking at different aspects of your program, best practices underway, putting together our study with Cambridge Systematics, making sure that information is made available back over to this project so we're not duplicating research and we're coming out with the same kind of message in the FHWA investment as we are with the ASHTO investment. Any questions on 254? That was a whirlwind tour. I apologize. Very quick, and I'm sure Mr. Hanefanger would have done a much better job presenting this. Rick, do you have anything to add?
No, but working with this project, you know, we've had numerous conference calls. And after reviewing this, you know, we think we've got a great product, and we'll see what comments there will be in October.
Okay, well, thanks, Rick. We actually have two questions typed in, and actually I'm going to put them both to you, Tom and Rick, because I'm not sure who would be the best to answer these, but both feel free to jump in. And we have a little bit of time left, so please continue if you have any questions to type them in. Most agencies are under fiscal constraints. Essential bridge and pavement projects are not being funded. How could these projects get priority funding? What makes these vehicle weight and safety inspection projects compelling?
Let me take the first crack at that, because this is the typical question. When you have critical pavement reconstruction projects, you have a deficient bridge. Always in the capital program, there'll be a preference toward making these highly visible, very obvious needs, addressing them as soon as possible, because you can basically measure the benefits that project delivery on needs like that are very, very evident. Truck size and weight enforcement protects the infrastructure over the medium and longer term. The damage that can be done by illegally overloaded trucks can be very, very pronounced and very, very profound. Therefore, if you want to continue to be repairing bridges and pavements, then don't do a lot of enforcement and don't care about what's going on out there. Most trucks run legal. I really want to say that. They basically, it's the small population of trucks that are illegally loaded. Those are the ones that command a lot of Rick's attention and his colleagues' attention around the country. Those are the trucks that have an incredible detrimental impact on the condition of pavements, on the condition of bridges over the short term. So pavement maintenance action every 15 years can go to every 7 years based upon the loadings that are being accelerated through illegal loading. Bridges having to be replaced, never coming close to realizing their expected service life and having to be replaced in half that time, will continue to mount up huge capital needs if indeed we are not able to accommodate effective enforcement, keeping the trucks not doing excessive damage to the infrastructure through illegal loading practices, and not accelerating the maintenance needs that are just going to keep mounting if the loadings go untethered and enforcement's not delivered effectively. Do you have anything to add, Rick?
No, and I think that's why we're increasing our mobile details. We just did an mobile detail on a large company where the employees became disgruntled and about the overweighted trucks, and we actually put several out of service. So now the company is complying. We've met several times, those with the mobile efforts, I mean, that's exactly what it's going to have to take. We're going to have to increase our enforcement, but create partnerships with companies and making sure that everyone is in compliance.
Okay, next question. What is the outlook for implementing a technology in a majority of the states in the near, midterm, and long-term future?
That's a very general question. Just about every state has deployed technology to support weight enforcement of one sort or another. There's a growing momentum in the area of weigh in motion technology being integrated into truck enforcement programs. Traditionally, weigh in motion technology was a major contributor to our long-term pavement performance program, LTPP. They were supporters, they were promoters of WIM. They affected where the weigh in motion would be located to support pavement research needs. What we're finding now is we go back and we see the beauty of understanding approximate static weights of trucks using the technology. I don't want to get into all the physics and dynamics in terms of vibration in a truck rolling down a highway and how well a WIM can replicate a static weight when a truck's traveling 70 miles an hour and has an uneven distribution of load on its back. However, there is an approximation of knowing and using by weigh in motion when a truck is illegally loaded and should be subject to subsequent enforcement activities. Rick, I'm sure you hear the same thing every enforcement officer I talk to says. When we see an overloaded truck and we can detect it through pre-screening, we want to bring them in and we want to do extra enforcement, because 9 out of 10 times we are going to be writing them a small book of citations. That weight is not the only aspect of illegal practice that's coming into play here. So
absolutely not. And you know, that gives us the opportunity to check that truck for safety issues. So, if you're talking about 1,000 pounds, if it can be adjusted, then we allow that truck to adjust. So, but there are other concerns that each state is concerned with,
right,
and making it safe for the motoring public.
Now let me take like Bridgeway in Motion, okay, as an example, and let me answer your question with regard to an innovative new emerging technology. Slovenia was tasked under a research framework to develop the technology, subject it to the cold environment testing so that it could be embraced EU-wide as an enforcement technology, and it was also introduced and subjected to the COST 323, which is like our ASTM 1318 standards for weigh in motion equipment. For us to do a technology transfer in the U.S., the goal was to have the University of Alabama research team do a deployment, successfully research it, integrate it into Alabama DOT's enforcement program, have data available to Alabama Highway Patrol at the roadside to enhance their use of the technology for pre-screening for enforcement, have a series of peer-to-peer events down in Alabama to look at the technology and the various aspects of how it benefits the DOT, how it benefits the Highway Patrol, move out with a pooled fund study to get a handful of other states to then test and deploy it, and eventually move toward national deployment. What we're talking about is about a 5 to 10 year time horizon to take a new emerging technology and deploy it ambiently across the U.S. Right now, I'm looking for enhancements in technology for truck enforcement on a very, very short order. With the study, what I'm seeing is there's a lot of interest in technology transfer amongst the states. There is some unbelievably high-level work going on. Research community, state DOT researchers, working with enforcement officials, improving the programs right now, starting to talk to each other big time. Indiana talking to Minnesota, URS facilitating research between those two states, technology transfer occurring. So deployment of new technologies on a peer-to-peer basis amongst the states, it can happen over a 1-3 year period based upon, is there a champion in the DOT at the executive level who gets it regarding the benefits of protecting infrastructure? And number two, how well do the states make information available to each other? And I'm seeing a tremendous support for each other out there through this truck technology study. Keep up the good work, partners.
Okay, Rick, anything else you wanted to add?
No, Tom has finished it eloquently, and but again, we have all got to work together on this, and we can put the new technology as far as and make it to our benefit and also industry's benefit. So I think that's the direction we need to go, and we need to expedite it.
Okay, we have one last quick question typed in before we close out. I believe the question is asking, will the presentation and information about Task 254, will that be available online for people who can't make the ASHTO meeting?
Absolutely. Rick, I believe no one is going to have any problem getting to these informational briefs. I don't want to speak on behalf of ASHTO, but the whole goal is to have it wide distribution and readily available. Is that true, Rick?
Yes. We talked to Leo about that in this project, and it definitely will be available to review.
What we see is that if at the executive level the presentations being made to the executives within ASHTO, which are your state DOT commissioners and directors, once that's done, then the distribution at the staff level becomes the reminder of, hey, remember this, and this is what we're trying to work on, and it ties to that, and it helps program delivery. It expedites investments to protecting the infrastructure. We're not trying to do truck enforcement here, folks. We're trying to protect the infrastructure.
Okay. Well, thank you both, Tom and Rick. We're about out of time. Before we close out, I want to just give a brief mention about the Freight Peer-to-Peer Program. The slide showing up on your screen now has the web address where you can go to get more information about this program. But basically, this program puts public sector freight transportation professionals in touch with experts in the field and provides technical assistance in order to enhance overall freight skills and knowledge. The program's available to state DOTs, MPOs, Federal Highway Divisions. So to learn more about this or arrange an exchange, you can go to this website. As Tom mentioned, actually, the Arizona meeting with the Swiss officials, we did model as sort of a peer exchange where Washington State also came in, and they were able to learn from what the Swiss had done. The next seminar is going to be held on October 15th and is going to be on rising fuel prices and the effects of energy prices on global trade patterns. Some of you may have remembered that this was scheduled for last month, and we've now rescheduled it for October 15th. The seminar is not yet open for registration. It should be up by tomorrow, and I'll send a note out through the listserv once registration does open, but I encourage you to check back tomorrow on the Talking Freight website and sign up for the seminar. So with that, thank you everybody, and enjoy the rest of your day.